Representative Aaron Murphy is a DFL, a representative from St. Paul, and deputy minority leader in the House. And she's in town talking to a number of local officials and particularly the people at the school, because the school is one of her interests. Good morning, Representative Murphy.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I am good. You've got a lot of interest in education. I've been reading about that, and not only did we pass the universal kindergarten last year, but now we're going for universal pre-K. So let's talk about your interest in education and what you're talking to folks here in Cook County about.
I would be so happy to. My background is in nursing. I'm a registered nurse, and I ran for the legislature because I was frustrated that we weren't making enough headway, and there were people that were not getting, needed health care, and it was getting really expensive, and it still is, though we're making headway in Minnesota. But I have been working on education for the last couple of years and am interested in early childhood only because we're so clear in our data here in Minnesota and across the country about our ability to close the achievement gap for young learners if we intervene a little earlier with education or other interventions to help parents with the education of their kids. So I am really excited about what the governor is talking about in terms of early childhood. And, of course, he's talking about universal pre-K, but he's talking about a number of things to make sure that we're doing all we can do to make sure kids are getting the education that they need. And the reason why I think that's important is really about our future, right? We have an aging population in Minnesota, and we're a big, tall state, and people live all over the state. And we're going to have a gap in a workforce in the next decade or so as the baby boomers are retiring. And I want to make sure that the young people who are coming up to our schools are well-educated and prepared to drive our economy in the future, and make sure that our state continues to be a place where people can live independently and thrive, regardless of their age. And that includes our aging population. So I think for all of us, it's really important that we have a strong education system.
Well, we have had that brought very clearly at home here in Cook County, because we do have a small population and not a very large young person population, and a lot of them leave the county because of work and other opportunities. But certainly the whole question of educated people being able to serve those who are possibly older and living here is a big deal. And to that end, at least in Cook County Higher Ed, speaking of nursing, as you did, does a lot of work with through distance learning and with the nursing profession, but also the whole idea of college and the schools and this sort of thing. I don't know that we're an unusual community in that respect, but it seems like there's a lot of activity here in this end of the county to help further education for not just high school kids, but high school graduates, to try to improve the workforce. You're from a metro community, of course, but do you see that that's usual or unusual, or where do we stand on that, Representative?
I spent some time yesterday with the mayor, with Jay Arrowsmith, and with some of the county board members. Frank Mullis, my former colleague, so I saw Frank and some of his colleagues, and spent some time at the school with Superintendent Beth Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And I see what's happening in Cook County is similar but unique, right? So all across the state, smart people, people who love our state and who are leading in the community, are working hard to figure out how to accomplish the goals that we have for our future. So how are we going to make sure we have a productive workforce and a workforce that's going to meet the jobs of the community? And as I visit different parts of the state in my work as a leader for the caucus, we're regionally distinct and different, and the economies in different parts of the state are driven by different things. So what I see here, what I saw yesterday as I was visiting, is a real concerted effort to bring together the assets of the community and to use them to maximize opportunity. And I saw that at your school. Although I know Beth Schwartz is pretty worried about the Republican budget targets that were introduced last week and what they mean for her budget, I see a real effort to try and prepare for the future And that is not unique for Minnesota. That's true all over the state. But each place is a little different because the needs are different and the base is different and the culture is different. So it's exciting to see what we're able to do. Minnesotans are such a productive and pragmatic people. And when I am able to connect with people like Beth Schwartz and Jay Arrowsmith, I feel really confident about our future and about us as people.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what some of those budget cuts are and how they might affect a district like ours?
Sure. So, you know, we have a budget surplus now of about $1.9 billion, and that's been great thanks to Minnesotans' hard work through the economic recovery that is seen. You know, we've seen in lots of parts of the state, but not everywhere. There are still parts of the state that are economically depressed or still recovering. So we have some work to do. But we have a big surplus now in the budget. And it's something that we should think about strategically. And I'm hearing from people in Minnesota that they want to make sure the budget stays balanced without a deficit. And they hope that we put a little bit more money into the reserve so we're prepared for an economic downturn. Or something like we're seeing on the Iron Range right now where they're laying off a lot of people because they're idling plants. Because of steel dumping. But in particular around education, the Republicans have proposed just less than a 1% increase for our schools across the state. And that came as quite a surprise for school administrators and school superintendents and teachers, given the size of that surplus. And we have been, you know, funding our schools, but really not keeping up with inflation in the last decade. Mostly because we've seen a lot of budget deficits, in part because of the recession, and in part because of the no new tax pledge that was really popular here for a decade or so. So our schools have been working really hard to keep up, but they've made a lot of cuts and laid off teachers. We have a teacher shortage in Minnesota that is going to get stronger. And I think if we continue to underfund our schools, it's going to make it harder for our schools to keep talent. And I know Beth Schwartz is worried about that. She talked with me about the budget targets that came out last week, and it would mean that she would have to do another cut in the budget, and she's worried about what that means in terms of retaining teachers and being able to provide high-quality education for the people that live and go to school at Cook County High School. So I do think there's a serious issue before us in the legislature in these next few weeks about what we intend for Minnesota, and I really hope I'm able to persuade my Republican colleagues that a less than 1% increase for our schools is inadequate. The governor came in much higher than that, mm-hmm. and he's very interested in early childhood, as am I. But it is my, hope that we continue to work with the leaders across the state, with my colleagues in the legislature, to make sure we're doing right by our schools and our students and senior citizens across the state of Minnesota. And that's where, if I have my chance and my choice, that we'll invest some of that surplus to prepare for that future.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, you are a trained nurse. Let's talk about what looks like steep cuts to health care and what that would mean in terms of the budget here in Minnesota.
So the Health and Human Services budget is the second largest budget of our state budget. And the funding there serves people who are aging, people who are disabled, and low-income people who get their health care through Minnesota Care or medical assistance. There are a lot of, young children in those programs, et cetera. It is a place that has been, cut repeatedly in the last decade as we've been trying to rein in the budget to meet the demands of the recession, et cetera. So the Republicans have proposed a $1.1 billion cut to Health and Human Services, and I serve on that finance division, and it is hard for me to imagine how we do that without really wholesale elimination of programs like Minnesota Care, which is one of the things that has been proposed, and I know we're going to discuss in the next few weeks. I think about 25%, 25 of our counties, of our most rural counties, are the place where Minnesota Care reaches most. So more Minnesotans enrolled in Minnesota Care are living in greater Minnesota. And we know a lot of farmers and small business owners that use Minnesota Care as their family coverage. You know, they pay an insurance premium, but it's affordable for them. And I do worry a lot about what that is going to mean for, healthcare coverage and payment for clinics and hospitals in greater Minnesota if we eliminate that program. So it's a pretty significant budget cut to a program that serves vulnerable people. And again, I think with the size of that surplus, it just it doesn't make sense to me that we would use the budget acts on vulnerable people in order to make tax cuts for other people in the state of Minnesota. I think we should stay the course with our budget. Certainly, we're going to entertain tax cuts, but the magnitude of $2 billion worth of tax cuts as proposed by the Republicans right now really will leave critical issues like education and health care behind in Minnesota, and especially in greater Minnesota.
Well, your job as Deputy Minority Leader, of course, is to represent the party around the state and at the legislature. What's your next stop after you leave Cook County? And when are you leaving Cook County? Not that I want to hurry you out of the county by any means.
Represent. I don't want to leave. It's
yeah, it's not bad. You're here the best day of the year so far.
Well,
what's next for you?
We're going to Silver Bay today, and we're going to visit the vet's home and talk with some local officials there. And, you know, I'm looking forward to learning something new. My colleague, Representative Mary Murphy, was really excited to know that I was going to go to the vet's home in Silver Bay. She was instrumental in funding that in the first place. So it'll be a good stop. And, you know, then I'll head on back to St. Paul. The legislature will start again next Tuesday, and we do have a lot of work in front of us. I have to say that I love my job, and it's been my honor to serve and represent the people of Minnesota. And so I look forward to it, even though it's going to be tough. It always is. We wouldn't be doing it if it didn't matter, and if it wasn't a hard job, it wouldn't be before us. So I'm glad to do it, and I'm looking forward to the rest of today.
Okay. Representative Aaron Murphy is a DFL representative from St. Paul and is the Deputy Minority Leader in the House. Thank you for talking with us. I'm glad you're here in the county, and have a good time in Silver Bay. I'm sure you'll get an earful, particularly about the as you mentioned, the current iron mining situation and steel situation. There's a big investment down there, and I'm sure
it's a big deal for people and their families.
Okay. Thank you very much.